to the collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash. Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone. From the county, from another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
What'd I do?
Turn around, turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go, let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on, get that set.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning and welcome, and thank you, for tuning in to Crossroads on WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. WPFW has been on the air for decades. I want to say thank all of our subscribers and listeners for making sure that we remain here on the air. And folks, WPFW is unusual. And I know from the top of the show to the bottom of the show, we try to bring you information that you can use. And we had a little saying that we call, we don't want no jiggy boogie. So if it's full of jiggy boogie, don't call in with the jiggy boogie. I just feel funny this morning. I feel funny every morning. We start off at what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine here on Crossroads. Good morning. Hold people accountable. While Mississippi courts must now produce public defense plans, the state Supreme Court wants to know how local courts provide lawyers, if any, to poor people after their arrest. For years, Mississippi's local courts have avoided clarity about how they deliver the Constitution's promise that poor criminal defendants will receive a defense attorney. Now the Mississippi Supreme Court says no more. Writing for the court, Chief Justice dispatched a letter in April to the state's 23 circuit courts, giving them until September the 5th to disclose how they provide defendants who cannot afford a lawyer with the right to legal counsel. Trump's deportation machinery, Asians, African, and Russian migrants expelled and sent to Latin American countries, though not without precedent, deporting non-citizens to third countries is now being carried out in ways that human rights groups say sidestep critical legal protections. Deporting people from the United States to a country that is not their country of origin is not technically illegal, but the process must comply with both national and international legal standards. What we've seen is that President Trump wants to expand and push the limits of what immigration law allows by declaring a state of emergency and declaring a migration emergency. The president assumed a set of powers to give him greater control over how to manage and reduce certain rights of foreign countries. This says that those folks, they can send people to countries they're not even from, never been to. After they get finished with the immigrants and the migrants, who's next? Are they going to expel us back to Africa? Who knows? But while there has been a significant increase in immigration arrests, deportation figures are not as high as expected. According to the Migration Policy Institute, the Trump administration is on track to deport roughly 500,000 people this year, far below its goal of 1 million annually. In the 685,000 recorded in the fiscal year 2024 under President Joe Biden, Biden deported approximately 4 million people during his presidency, compared to the roughly 3 million deported by his predecessor, Barack Obama. D.C. mayor signs emergency youth curfew law after Navy Yard illegal fireworks chaos. Did D.C. D.C. Mayor Merrill Brown Bowser signed her emergency youth curfew into law on Monday, days after illegal fireworks set off in a Navy Yard resulted in the arrest of more than a dozen juveniles, and all of them were under 18. The D.C. Council recently passed Bowser's emergency legislation on youth curfews, which implements an earlier start time and allows for enforcement zones to be created in areas deemed necessary. A spokesperson from the Justice Policy Institute argues juvenile curfews aren't the answer. We need to invest in our youth, not police them into an adulthood. And that's what we've been saying and other groups and guests on that show. We don't need to keep locking up and detaining and our youth. We need programs, activities, events. We got the resource. We got the horses, but we don't have the resources. We got enough people in the community with boots on the ground, credible messages, violence interrupters, and a host of other folk who are doing their darnest to stop all this violence and this foolishness. But they need help. They need support. They don't need curfews. If you put a curfew, where the kids going to go? They're going to somebody's house. Or in the problem. Hey, we need meaningful participation and resources to save our youth. Let's don't keep locking these kids all the way up to adulthood. This is not the answer. The Supreme Court ruled prison inmates cannot sue federal officers for alleged assaults. The Supreme Court on Monday ruled that a federal prison inmate cannot sue correction officers for alleged assault in which he was punched, kicked, and had his face slammed into a wall. The loss is the latest setback for plaintiffs seeking to hold federal officials accountable. Although the Supreme Court allowed such claims in a 1971 ruling called Bivens versus Six Unknown Agents, it has since changed course and made it almost impossible to do so in most situations. Forbidding courts from redressing a constitutional violation is wrong, and it is especially dangerous in this day and age to immunize federal executive officials from accountability for a violation of a constitutional right. Earlier this year, we reported on the warden in the prison in California who was sentenced to 6 years, and the five correctional officers were sentenced for rape in this prison they call Club Rape. What about these cases? If the Supreme Court ruled that you can't sue a federal a correctional official, folk, I came out because of that. I was whipped, severely injured, placed in solitary, sent to the insane asylum, and I was paralyzed for several months. And I was able to sue, but it took 8 years to get the case to go to court. Now you're saying you don't have no right to sue if they abuse you, violate your constitutional rights. Come on, people. This is some more jiggy boogie. Why don't you cut this crap out? And that's been what we call the grapevine, the information that you could use. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Mike, our engineer. But heck, we got a hell of an engineer. Good morning, Mike Nassau. Let me holler at you.
How you doing, Mike Nassau?
Thank you for being our engineer all these years, man.
Yes, sir.
How's
everybody doing this morning?
I can hardly hear you, Mike.
You can hardly hear me, huh?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Thanks a lot, man, for being our engineer. We appreciate you, man.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. All right. Our topic this morning is something that we've been meaning to get to for a while. We have the editor of the Washington Informer, Ms. Denise Rolock Barnes. The topic of this morning's show is the plight of the Black press and this role in our community and how vital it is that we have the Black press. Ms. Denise Rolock Barnes is the publisher and second-generation owner of the Washington Informer, succeeding her father, the late Dr. Calvin W. Rolock, who founded the newspaper in 1964. The Washington Informer is a multimedia organization serving the African-American community in the Washington metropolitan area. Ms. Denise Rolock Barnes is past chair of the National Newspapers Publishers Association, the Black Press of America. She serves on the boards of several nonprofit community organizations. She's a native Washingtonian and a Ward 8 resident. She is married and the mother of two adult sons. And a good friend of ours, Martine and I and Nikichi, we've been knowing her for how long? I don't know, since Abraham Lincoln came in. No, that wasn't that long. But we've been knowing Denise for a while. But beyond that, she's a friend. She's credible. She's working hard. She works hard. And she's somebody who is on top of all the news, what's going on in this city. I just want to throw in a little tidbit. when I was away incarcerated, the only thing that kept me informed of what's going on in D.C. was the Washington Informer. I had a guy named Rudy Yates from EFEC. He took a subscription out, and he would send me the Washington Informer every month. When you get locked up and you go in the federal system, they send you to Oklahoma. And the only thing, there's no blacks on TV. There's very few black journalists or whatever. And in fact, when I went to Oklahoma, we were watching Lawrence Welk. He'd been off of TV for 35 years. So you see shows that are not relevant or germane, and you don't know what's going on back in your hometown. So the newspaper has a psychological or social and a redeeming value to keep us plugged into what's going on. So our guest this morning is none other than the outstanding publisher and editor of the Washington Informer, Ms. Denise Rolock Barnes. Good morning, Denise. Ms. Barnes, are you there? Well, while we're waiting on Denise, we'll hold on, because I guess we have some technical issues, try to get her on. So she had the Zoom link, baby. She got it. So what we'll do is talk among ourselves, Nikichi.
So let me tell you this, Roach. Let me just say, I've been knowing Denise since the late 60s when we both were at Ray Bowe Junior High School. And the one thing I remember about Denise back then, she had the most perfectly shaped afro of anybody in that school. I'm telling you, it was P-E-R-F-E-C-T, perfect. And then we were at Howard together, university. We took Haki Matabuti's course together. I forgot the name of the course, but I remember the paper. I wrote a paper on independent black schools, and she wrote a paper dealing with the black press. And so, you know, I always have a soft spot in my heart for our dear sister, Denise Rolock Barnes.
She reminds me of you somewhat, Nikichi, because every time we go somewhere, we see Denise. I don't care what kind of community meeting it is, city council meeting up on the Capitol Hill, legislative with Congress, Denise is there on the front line reporting, and having her reporters there. So she covers the entire city. It's like you cover the city from different programs. I don't know what y'all had in the water, baby boy. Y'all both went to a school that released these two dangerous.
I'll tell you what we had. Let me just tell you, Roach, seriously, this was during the time when Black Studies was first coming into the into the schools. You're talking about, you know, the late 60s. And I know I drank up that entire, you know, environment. It's really what helped to move and groove me. And probably the same with Denise as well. And she had a strong family background with her daddy and her stepmother. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, there was no other thing but that what we could be what we are today.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, now they're trying to take all of that out of the schools and ban Black history and all like that. Like you said, Roach, that's some joogie boogie, and we got to rally against that.
I got some little buddies out there that listen to the show, little kids. And I go by the neighborhood at the house, and they say, Mom, here's Mr. Joogie Boogie. So they call me Mr. Joogie Boogie. And I love it when they look up and say, Mr. Roach, what's Joogie Boogie? I don't know what it means. It just means jiggy boogie. It's bull crap.
I think Denise may be on now. I don't know.
Yeah, she said she was just ending up in an emergency. She'll be here.
So those things happen. Also, Nikichi, I want to just share that I want to thank you for what you've been doing, especially at the Martin Luther King, Malcolm X Park. The thing we had with WPFW.
Oh, the WPFW Jazz and Justice. Yeah.
That was off the chain. And also, I just want to mention, we went to what I call the best cookout I've ever been to in my life, Nikichi. We must have been, Mertine must have, and I must have been to about 30, 40, maybe 50 cookouts, barbecues in the last 30 years. But we went to one over the weekend that blew us away.
Where was it, Roach?
It was in Bowie, Maryland, and it was held by...
the Bowie Town Center?
No, it was at a guy's house named McKinley Battle. He owns Battle Transportation.
Oh.
And Nikichi, it was, the vibe was beautiful. The food was beautiful. The guests were beautiful. Everybody walked around speaking. Everybody was no profanity, no tension, no drama. Everything was excellent. They had big moon bouncers for the kids, all kinds of activities, and everything was free. And everybody you walked, everybody spoke. They were friendly. They were cordial. I never been to a cookout or a picnic where people were just walking around speaking, say, hey, how you doing? It really made us feel a part of it. So I want to take my hat off to McKinley Bowder and his wife, Nisi. Ness, for what they did at Cookout. Thank you, McKinley and Ness, and we'll be seeing y'all real soon on Crossroads, and thank you for joining us. We got a couple of guests waiting besides Denise. Kamal Ali will be joining us shortly. He's one of the co-owners of Ben's Chili Bowl. He got an announcement to make. Let him make the announcement. He'll be coming on shortly. Then we have another doctor, calling in, Dr. Nick Horsky.
Victor
Horsky. He was on last week talking about this diabetes and type 2 diabetes and how there's 170,000 amputations a year, 80% of which are needless and not needed. And they're using this as a way to generate and make money. I didn't realize that when they amputate a toe or something off your foot, it's 100,000 plus per amputation. And when he started with the toe, he wrote a book called My Toe Can't Go. Mm-hmm. And he'll be coming on briefly to give us an update on, if you want to follow up on what he talked about last week and what's happening at Everlasting Life program, you need to check out Dr. Victor Horsky. People, that is dynamite. It's history. Okay, we take who I guess you said, is it Rick? Okay, let's take our first caller then. Come on, while we're waiting. Come on, you're on the air. Question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Roach Brown. Merry Christmas to you and Martine, doing such a good job with Crossroads. This is Pearl.
Hey, Pearl.
Hey, Pearl.
Hey, the singer.
Is this Pearl Murphy?
Pearl Murphy McRae, it is.
Oh, that's right. I forgot I forgot the second name, Pearl. But how you doing, young lady?
I am so blessed. Thank the Lord. Martine doing a great job with your promo. And when I saw the information, the topic today was the situation with the Black media and the press, and was very glad to know that you were featuring Denise Rollar. Barnes, so proud of her for keeping the Informer going. Mm-hmm. Because people that know anything about Washington, D.C., they remember the name Calvin Rollock, her father.
And her mother was Wilhelmina Rollock.
Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah.
They were a power couple.
Her mother was on the city council, correct?
She sure was.
For decades and decades, she was chair of the Judiciary Committee, long standing.
Yes.
Wow. There is so much history in Washington, D.C., and I'm glad that you all are keeping a focus on it. And what you're doing there at Ben's Chili Bowl the first Tuesday of the month is really, really fantastic. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Pearl.
And thank you, Pearl. And happy Harambe House to you.
And your show was fantastic. Pearl is an outstanding jazz singer. She highlighted all the singers, Sarah Vaughan, just an awesome production. So make sure we know your next performance so we can let our audience know what's going on with you.
Yes, thank you. And it was such an honor to have you all come out. And I'm glad you were able to come out, take the microphone, and talk to the people who were there, because you all have been doing such good things in the community. And right now, we are seniors of the village, y'all. So
we've got to,
I keep reminding myself of that. We've got to lead by example and keep our community flowing. It was such a pleasure. I met you guys at Tyrone Parker's book signing. And when I saw that all of you all were going to be there in one room, I'm like, I can't miss it.
Thank you, Pearl. Thank you.
But I just wanted to call and say hello. You all keep up the good work, and I'll be in touch. I do have coming up in September, so I will be getting you the information.
Thanks a lot, Pearl. We appreciate you for calling in, Pearl.
Day.
Thank you. We have Kamal Ali calling in. In fact, he should be on the line now. He is one of the sons and owners of Ben's Chili Bowl on U Street. And I want to thank Kamal and the entire Ben's Chili Bowl family for their support of Crossroads and all the activities we're doing and the program we got, Cole. It's time to all get involved. Want to thank you and tune in and welcome Kamal Ali. Are you there? Kamal, are you there? You know how it go, Kamal. You tell me to unmute. Hello, y'all there?
Hey, Denise.
This is a blessing. We have two, three people scheduled to call in, so just in case we run into situations like this, we got a backup. They want to. Good morning.
Good morning. I am so sorry.
No apology necessary. You running the newspaper, the black newspaper in this town, so we know you are always in emergencies.
Good to see you. Good to see you. Looks like life's been treating you well.
I've
been
following after you, sis. Before you came on, I talked about us being at Bay Bow together. You had the most beautiful. Your afro was just perfect. You know? I remember way back then.
Can I tell you a quick story? I was down at the barbecue bash, a couple of weeks ago, whatever that barbecue thing was. And this guy stopped me. He has a barbecue place. It'll come to me in a minute. And he said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "No." He said, he had a barbershop at the Rhode Island Avenue Plaza.
Yes.
And he said, "I used to cut your hair." And wow. I said, "Nikichi," I said, "when my father realized I was going to start wearing an afro," and you know, back in the day, they said, "All you do is don't wash your hair, get a kitchen fork," and you know, really did not work. My father said, "Well, you're going to wear your hair like that. I got to take you to the barber." And that was the barber he took me to. And
wow. That's something.
So, fond memories.
Yeah, very much fond. You were quite an inspiration. Yeah.
Huh? Is Kamal on yet? Okay, tell me, you need to unmute. Unmute, Kamal.
And I'm sorry, y'all, I'm late, and I only have a few minutes.
So you go ahead and do your thing, Denise.
I applied for a grant. I was denied. And they say when you apply for grants or anything, you always go back and ask, "Can you tell me
why
and how could I improve next time?" So the grantor said, "Yes, we'll gladly meet with you." So that meeting's at 10:30.
Great.
But yeah, I mean, just really quickly, I know that you all wanted to have me on to sort of,
give an overview of the plight of the Black press this current administration.
Tell us what's going on.
Right. And I'm going to tell you, it was funny. I went to Frederick Douglass' home on Saturday, for the reading of his speech, for the slave is the 4th of July. And someone gave some background. And it was interesting because the women who invited Douglass to that, to deliver that speech, which was done on July the 5th, was also a benefactor for his newspaper. Mm-hmm. And so, Douglass's newspaper only lasted a couple of years. And his plight was the same as ours. And can you imagine what he was going through in 1860 something before slavery was abolished, trying to put out a newspaper and trying to support that newspaper, getting money from anywhere he could. And there was no such thing as advertising, So that's the thing that keeps me motivated and inspired. Because regardless, the Black press shall live, but it is, historically we have gone through this whole, now it was DEI, before it was multicultural, is that all these terms, which is this bucket that I was talking about on the show, that Black press, Hispanic press, LGBTQ press, you name it. Is all the advertising comes out of this little bucket. While, as you saw in that interview, like the federal government is spending
Billions.
Billions. You know, we get 14%, and that 14% is all of us, right? Mm-hmm. That we're splitting. So, you know, it's unfortunate. We have from NMPA and Word in Black and others, we've heard from grantors who said, you know, well, you know, because of the president's mandate, you know, we have to stop spending. So we've lost revenue.
But the Black press has lost revenue.
Not just the Informer, but the Black press is losing revenue. I'm talking to publishers all across the country who are, you know, trying to figure out how we're going to ride through this. At the same time, you know, it's interesting, and I really wish that you might want to have the publisher of the Afro on, mm-hmm. Frances Draper, who shared with us that mm-hmm. one of her advertisers told her that they could no longer spend money with them because of the word Afro in their name.
What?
And on top of that, Roach,
awful.
One of their readers who is incarcerated in some federal prison somewhere, who's been a longtime reader, the prison sent them, according to Dr. Draper, a very nice letter saying, we know you've been sending this newspaper to one of our prisoners, but because, and I guess this is around the anniversary of George Floyd, because you mentioned George Floyd, we have to cancel this subscription.
Ooh, yeah. Because
it agitates the prisoners. So, you know, it's coming from all directions.
Right.
I just have to keep telling myself this is not new.
Right.
You've
been here before.
Been here before. And we're still here. For us, it's 60 years. For the Afro, it's 120, 30 years.
Yes.
Amsterdam News is 100 and some years.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they've seen worse times. So, you know, it's tough. I mean, we can't really get anybody in administration to even talk to do interviews. HUD, we just had National Home Ownership Month. You know, there's this, was a mandate mm-hmm. under prior administrations to do what we could to try to increase home ownership within the Black community. Right.
Yeah.
We can't even, there's no one there that will even return our phone calls to talk about the issue of Black home ownership.
Jesus.
It's a crazy moment that
it's like the clock is being rolled back. We're going back to segregation and slavery, post-slavery.
Yeah.
And it's scary. I mean, that one of the reasons why we wanted to bring you on, Denise, is that my wife and I, we know there's very few Black late night hosts.
We
don't have none. They took Roland Martin off. They took Joy off. The Black newspaper. Kathy Hughes had a saying that information is power, knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
And for those men and women who get locked up in Washington, D.C., and you're sent thousands of miles away from home, people don't realize the further you're away from home, the less news that you hear.
Right.
And when you come back, you don't know who the president is, who's the city council. You go in communities where there's no Black reporters, there's no Black newspapers. In some prisons, as you mentioned, they even banned the Bible because it says too much violence and rape and assault in the Bible.
Right, right.
So these institutions have unlimited authority to restrict the information you get. And this further handicaps and restrict those men and women coming out because they don't know what happened. They've been gone 5, 10, 15 years. If you leave Washington, your city, and for 10 or 15 years, you don't know who's who, what's what, and where to go. So information is more than powerful. Power is a salvation. It saves your sanity. Yes. It connects you to a whole lot of other things. And what's happening with the Black press when you say that they're cutting the advertising budgets all over the country for Black press, I really, really, really miss Ebony and Jet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that Ebony and Jet magazine. Go ahead. You got something you want to say about that?
Well, Ebony's still online. It's still a digital publication. And, you know, I guess one of my concerns, and I'm going to have to jump off in about a minute, but is when I talk to people in the public, you know, and I realize I never looked at D.C. as a news desert because we have so many news organizations mm-hmm. here in D.C. But when the Washington Post decided that it was going to discontinue its metro section, which has now been collapsed into the sports section.
I didn't know
Wow.
That started 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Jeez. And so, you know, when it comes to a print publication, we're about the only game in town right now.
You are.
But at the same time, when I ask people, where do you get your news? Because I have to figure out how are people staying informed besides listening to WPFW. They're on their social media feeds.
Yes.
They get a headline and they'll read a headline, they'll look for a video, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's scary.
It is. It's awful. Yeah.
And so we're dealing with that as well. You know, people who have tuned out. I've talked to lawyers. I've talked to, you know, teachers. I've talked to all kinds of folks who say, I don't listen to the news anymore. I don't read the news anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it is scary. It's scary. How do we continue to educate our children? How do we continue to make decisions, you know, about our lives without understanding what's coming down the pipe?
Mm-hmm. You know, these are some very frightening and scary times.
Right.
In terms of when you refuse the Bible to come into a prison because it says too much violence.
Right.
And it's DEI and all these restrictions, and they've taken down Colin Powell's picture, General Chappie James, Harriet Tubman. A lot of our Black historical figures are being removed and eradicated from books, from programs, et cetera.
So, Roach, I know Denise has to run. She has to run. But do you have any just last words just as you run to your critical important appointment you got next?
Well, yeah, I'm talking about this grand tour. I'm trying to see what I can salvage. But I just want to say thank you. What you all do is so, so critically important. Crossroads has shared so much with us about, you know, a whole population of folks that once they're gone are often forgotten, but there are some amazing folks that are leaving those incarcerated communities and doing some amazing things while there and when they
leave. Yes.
And so you know, your program does that, so everything we can do to support Crossroads needs to happen. All of our institutions need support, and everybody can't help everybody.
Right.
Everybody can help somebody.
I like that.
Help somebody.
Right? There you go.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Thank
Please
you, Denise.
Subscribe to the Washington Informer today.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks a lot, Denise. I appreciate you.
Likewise.
We'll have you back because I know you have to do what you have to do, but we like to really get into this and deep in this because our news is like getting a transfusion.
Yeah.
And if you don't get that transfusion or that IV, you don't know what's going on.
Right.
And because of what's happening now in the country and with this current administration, people, we need to know who to go to, where to go to, and what we can do when we get there. So thank you to you.
Thanks,
and especially to your pop. Oh, I missed that turkey.
Yeah.
So the only one can help us is us.
That's right. And if it has to be, it's up to me. So it's up to me to say goodbye, you all.
Oh, you're sharp,
you,
ain't you? Thank you. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
You're the best.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, there you go. And we'll turn to Kamal Ali, one of the owners of Ben's Chili Bowl, one of the sons. And he's an online, hands-on person. And Kamal has been involved in a lot of things. And we want him to come on and share what's getting ready to happen with Ben's Chili Bowl and the group that we're working with called Time to Get For Us All to Get Involved. Come on, Kamal Ali of Ben's Chili Bowl.
Hey, Roach, how's it going? Hey, Martine.
Good
Hi,
morning.
How you
good
doing,
morning.
Kamal?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead,
sorry,
Kamal. You
want to
explain the, huh?
I'm sorry, I can't unmute and get this video going, but it just don't seem to be working. But I'm on the line.
I know what happened. Yeah.
Well,
you know,
we can hear you.
I dropped a half smoke on your computer, and it ain't worked since I dropped that half smoke on your computer, man. You know what I mean? That half smoke does that when I drop him on a computer.
Don't
right,
stop.
That's right.
Good morning, Kamal. Thank you for joining us, man. We appreciate you and all that you're doing in the family.
Yeah.
And it's been news this morning. Every time we turn around, there's news now about what's going to happen with Ben's Chili Bowl. You want to give us an update, please, Kamal?
Yes, sir. After 66 and a half years, the building is just, you know, kind of falling apart there. and it's time to do some needed repairs. And so we are going to shut the doors on this coming Monday, the 14th at midnight. Monday will be our last shift. So we open this week, and we encourage people to come in this week and say hi to Mama and get their last pictures before the original location with all the blood, sweat, and tears. We talked about that blood, sweat, and tears that Mama and Daddy and all the staff and all the people. I mean, I think, Roach, I think you left a little DNA up in that chili bowl.
So, I left a whole lot of DNA. And my parole papers are in the back.
I think we put them into the wall and seal it up. It's all right. So all that history, 67 years worth of history, wow, is in that building, in, wow, those walls. But the electricity needs to be repaired. The plumbing needs to be repaired. You know, the air conditioning, the roof, and everything needs to be repaired. So we're going to do some much-needed repairs so that we can create these new memories for the next 67 years.
All
this
right.
New generation.
So that's what y'all do while you're repairing?
Yes, sir. We're going to go right across the street. A great neighbor over there, Amsterdam, has allowed us to go across the street and use the bottom of his facility. He'll operate out of the top, and we'll operate at 1208 U Street, right across the street for that period of time. So we'll be closed for a couple of days while we move everything over, and then we'll be open hopefully on that Thursday, the 17th, 11 a.m. Hopefully we'll get it open by then. Fingers crossed, grace of God, to continue serving our customers. So, yep, that's the plan.
All right.
So doing the renovation and remodeling of Ben's Chili Bowl, you'll be across the street, 1208.
Open for business.
And continue.
Yes,
and
sir.
Keep on
across
serving.
The street, and open for business. And they got a bar in there, Roach, so it might be the only time ever that you could get your half smoke with you know, with your running coat or your martini.
That sounds good.
Oh, I'll be first in line.
we plan on having a little fun over there while we're waiting for the new baby to be born. That's right.
What about Ben's next door? Would that be closed too?
No, Ben's next door will be fully open, fully operational.
Okay,
just a chili bowl.
Okay. So the only thing that's closing is 1213 U Street, the original Ben's Chili Bowl, was moving across the street for the next 4 months doing renovation.
That's right. And you know how the construction goes. We hope it's 3 months and hope it's not 5 months, but we stay in 4 months. Targeted 4 months.
You want to give our listeners a little update to the Kamal on the organization that you're running, because you normally meet right after the show. We have a meeting.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, you know, Kenny Barnes and I got together with you, Tyrone Parker, and Dr. Lawson for a time for us to get involved. It's coming on our third year. And we got together. Wow. We started out a couple of years ago when the violence in the streets was real terrible. The gun, yes, violence, the carjackings, the young people, you know, a lot of the violence that was occurring. And we got together on that. And since then, it's really morphed into as well the addiction. The opioid addiction is terrible out there. The deaths from...
Yes.
The death of opioid addiction, as well as really treating our mental health. So these are kind of three of the pillars that we're really working to stop. And we're trying to get all the great organizations that are around the city and all the people who are doing good work, you know, people like Mama Joe at Parent Watch and the Cruz people, Edward Tate and those guys, and Frank Malone at 100 Fathers and One Flag with Juju and Mad with Prince. And all these guys are, you know, a lot of people doing great work around the city, but everyone's kind of operating in silos, doing the best they can with what they have. And we wanted to serve as one umbrella type of organization, a coalition of sorts, to bring everybody under one roof so that we could help advocate on everyone's behalf for the city, what we collectively need, so that we could be on one page as a city and as a people for what the needs are for our community, so we can address them together. Everyone's doing their part. But we need to, you know, to get everybody involved, and hence the name, time for us all to get involved. And we need not only the we're going to do it ourselves, and we're going to do what we do, the nonprofits and the small people, but we also need help from the city. We also need help from the foundation community and from the private sector. It's going to take everybody to really make this city great and what it can be, and to help the people. You know, it's one thing to help people. We all serve. We're in the service industry. But I say we really want to help the underserved, the underprivileged.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Kamal, because at the top of the show during our grapevine, we mentioned that Mayor Bowser has just signed a curfew because of what happened down on the 4th of July at the waterfront, or the wharf, rather. And we have people. You just listed about 7-8 organizations, man, who are on the front line. Juju with One Flag, Mama Joe, Frank Malone, and Prince and them up with 100 Fathers, Cruz. We got folk who's willing to roll up their sleeves and get to work. And they can't get to work. They don't have the resources. But yet we can spend money. They dropped them 30,000-pound bombs. And I think it cost something like $7 to $15 million to fly to Iran and drop the bombs. They can find money to destroy, but they can't find money to save life. And I think somebody said the thing, it's easy to fix young men as opposed to repair broken men.
Frederick Douglass.
You know, and we need these kind of things. We got folks who can make a difference in our community, but they don't get the resources. We have the horses, but we don't have the resources. So as Kamal said, we need people to step up, foundations, organizations, corporate community, business community. Please. We're talking about saving some lives. And here goes somebody who's feeding people and saving lives. The Chili Bowl feeds you and saving lives. So we need your participation to help us out. And Kamal, I want to thank you for joining us, man. And if you find a half smoke behind the refrigerator, that's mine.
There you go. There you go. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Go to www.timeforustogetinvolved.org.
Leave that donation again.
We need it. Timeforustogetinvolved.org. That's right.
So you want to give some closing comments before you leave, Kamal?
Well, Justin, we love our community. We love our people, and we believe in our children. These are not bad children, and we believe in our people who are returning citizens. Everybody deserves a second chance, and, you know, your past doesn't define your future. So we're here to support. We're here to uplift, and we're here to get people on the right track to live the best lives they can live.
That's right. There you go. Thanks a lot, Kamal. I'll see you shortly, brother, as soon as we get finished with the show. Are we meeting today?
Yes, sir. 12 o'clock. See you soon.
All right, Kamal.
Okay.
All right, we see you short. That's been Kamal Ali, one of the owners of Ben's Chili Bowl, the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl. They'll be closing next Monday temporarily for a few months while they're remodeling. This is WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. PFW is heard around the world, and want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. We just got finished talking to Kamal Ali, one of the sons and co-owners of the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl. In fact, we broadcast from the Chili Bowl the first Tuesday of each month, so now we have to find another spot to broadcast from during the renovation of Ben's Chili Bowl. But we'll be coming to you live anyway. Thanks a lot. I guess it's been Kamal Ali. And prior to him, we had Denise Rolock-Barnes, the editor and publisher of the Washington Informer, a Black publication that's been in business over 44 years in Washington, D.C. And we were talking about the impact of the current administration's policies and its impact and effect on the Black community and our ability to receive news the way we want to hear the news without no jiggy boogie involved in the news. We want it straight from the horse's mouth. Now we're going to turn to a gentleman who was on with us last week, Dr. Victor Horsley. He was on last week, and I'm thinking he blew us away with his information on his book called This Toe Can't Go.
My Toe Can't Go.
And it's about how folk are being the toe foot amputations. There's over 170,000 amputations yearly in America, 80% of which are not necessary. And because when they take off a toe, they're going to take off the rest of the foot and maybe the ankle and the leg. So it really opened our eyes. So now we have Dr. Victor Horsley coming back. Victor Horsley joining us because he has a program this weekend. We'd like for your folks, then just listen to what Dr. Horsley has to say. Go ahead, Doc. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning and Merry Christmas there, Brother Roach and Miss Martine.
And Merry Christmas to you, Doc.
All right. It's my pleasure to be back with everyone. And if Brother Kamal is still on, hello to you and everyone at Ben's Chili Bowl, because we appreciate the help that you're providing for us and the community to make strides in the proper direction. Just as a thought, there's only two administrations I really was not too fond of. That's the current one, number 47, and numbers 1 through 46. I have not been fond of because we're out here on our own. We're struggling on our own. and we've got to make it. And that's what we're going to do. And I was especially concerned with the incarceration information that you were providing, that sometimes and often people get out of jail and they head right to the hospital for a toe to be removed, a part of the foot or the leg. And I'm more than happy to work with you in the capacity to help those inmates. If we can identify it as polyneuropathy, we're going to do that for sure. So I would also like to say thank you to everyone else that's listening and all your listeners, and to give a shout out to everyone who's been supporting you, because we really appreciate that. I wanted as well to invite everyone to check out my presentation that you mentioned. It's at eLife, E for Everlasting Life, both restaurant and event center. And we're going to talk about type 2 diabetes and lower extremity amputation prevention, which has an acronym LEAP, lower extremity amputation prevention. So this Friday, the 11th of July at 6 p.m., there's no fee to get in, but I suggest you come a little early, grab a plate. They have a live bar and they have a hot bar, and it's all plant-based foods, similar to what Ben's Chili Bowl is now doing with the plant-based burgers, plant-based chili, and the plant-based dog. So I really appreciate that effort as well. But with no fee to get in, be sure and come early, grab that plate, and get that whole food plant-based meal in. The meals are delightful and reasonably priced. What I plan to discuss is what is meant by diabetic neuropathy or polyneuropathy, kind of what we talked about last week. Also, as soon as I'm off, I want to jump on this time for us to get involved.org. I want to check that out.
You know, we need your participation, doctor. We got several doctors on board, and as many more that can join us. We need you.
Doc, what's the address for Friday, the time on Friday, and where is eLife located?
eLife is on Central Avenue, and it's in, is it Marlboro Heights?
Hampton Park.
Is it Hampton Park? Okay. I'd have to pull up the exact address, or maybe you know how to pull that up.
Well, Central Avenue, I think it's.
Right next to the Home Depot.
We know where that is.
Yeah, renovating that area on Central Avenue is kind of between 495 and the LA Fitness, which is up the street about 2 miles, and I really enjoy it going.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, we're going to be talking about the home test kit for early detection of polyneuropathy, and it'd be nice if we could go to the prisons or institute that in the prison system where they can test and find our pre-diabetics early, and early intervention and early prevention means no amputations.
I like to suggest something, Doc, that since you're in D.C. for a while, when the show is over, we get together and talk, and we can arrange and speak with the people at the Federal Bureau of Prisons to make sure that you get an opportunity to come in, because we got a lot of men and women who did 20, 30, 40, 50 years of being released, and after 18 months or 2 years, they get an amputation, or they come out with a foot or leg amputated. And the amputation rate for those men and women coming out of institution is growing off the charts. So your information in the class or getting this information circulated hopefully will stop or save a lot of these men and women from having their legs and foot amputated while in prison and when they get out of prison because of lack of knowledge and lack of information. And as we said last week, the only population in society who has a legal constitutional right to free medical care are prisoners.
Mm.
And that was decided by the Supreme Court in a case called Estelle versus Gamble. So prisoners have a legal right to get free medical care. But a lot of these men and women are coming out with the foot, leg amputated. And this knowledge is power. Information is power. And in this case, it saves lives.
Right? Yes. The address of Friday night at 6 p.m. is 9033 Central Avenue.
That's
9033 Central Avenue, eLife Restaurant, 6 p.m. Friday.
Right. And Dr. Brock will be hosting the event at his, and he has been kind enough not to charge me or the people to get in to find out about saving lives and stopping saving a limb, saving a life. That's our goal.
And I save a limb, save a life.
Definitely join you at a prison visit, because last week you said, I think 70, there was a 70% figure you threw out.
Yes.
70% of the brothers are going to prison. Is that what's happening?
No, the thing is that seven out of every 10 black males have a criminal record or arrest record or been to jail.
Yeah.
So 70% of our population has been justice impacted.
Right.
So, and for those 30% that hasn't, have a son, brother, wife, cousin, somebody in prison. Mm-hmm. So prison is a part of our life where we want to accept it or not accept it. We know somebody in and we know somebody's coming out.
Yep.
So whatever we can do to pull their coat to wake them up is what we're all about.
Beautiful. And that one president that they were calling the first black president, I think his name was Bill Clinton. And everyone just loves him to pieces, but he's in that 1 through 46. He started the 3 strikes rule.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So whatever your third strike, whether it was a roach, a marijuana roach, not roach brown, you know, whether it was a little teeny weeny flake of Peruvian flake of cocaine, they're off to prison for a lifetime to join real murderers, thieves. And here they are, good, outstanding brothers, got locked up on a humble charge, and it wasn't right. So
that's right.
I at least can join you in identifying those at high risk for polyneuropathy, which is a big problem with the diabetic community. So yes, anytime, hey, with these alarming numbers of type 2 diabetics, I'm sure it continues and is even worse for those who are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And sometimes their feet also feel like they're walking on nails, have multiple bee stings, losing their balance, and maybe some people are fall risks in addition to everything else, which is a leading cause of death. So we plan on discussing the benefits of vitamin B1 therapy, specifically benfotiamine, and vitamin B12 therapy, methylcobalamin. And I would like to brush on some common everyday foot tips for everyone to keep their feet healthy and to ensure longevity of your toes, feet, and legs.
Our time is about up. You want to give us some contact information? Nikita, you got something you want to ask before we wrap up?
Okay, Mertine, thank you for providing that address. I don't have the number, but come on. Yeah, I can look it up. But why don't you post that, Miss Mertine? You gave us the address. Let us, the listeners, know, or phone number, if they want to know, what time should I get there? I'd suggest 5:15 to get a seat, because I have a feeling this is going to be a well-attended affair, because there are a lot of diabetics, and we want our pre-diabetics also. Come on down. Get the information so you don't fall into the category of limb loss and then fall once again into the category of, for the first time in human history, life expectancy for our communities is on the decline. Mm-hmm. And we want to reverse that fact.
Thank you.
Let me call in and being with you guys. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank
it's
you,
our
Dr.
pleasure.
Horsley.
You've been listening to Crossroads with Dr. Victor Horsley. He wrote a book, This Toe Can't
Go. My Toe Can't Go.
Great title, boy. Makes you really want to think.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a children's book, children's medical book for grades K through 12 that is written for the family of the person with type 2 diabetes and is written in the perspective that even the children and grandchildren can understand and help the others or the other at risk family members. So we're
thank
going
you.
To
thank you.
This
thank you. Our time is up. You've been listening to Dr. Victor Horsley. Check out his program, Sir, at Everlasting
Friday.
Life.
Friday night.
And our co-host, none other than the distinguished dynamic attorney.
Yes.
Somebody who's on the go all the time. I call her our ever-ready partner. She's like the ever-ready lady.
Look at that pretty smile.
And, of course, my beautiful wife, Mertine, and our technical staff for helping us to bring this to you, to Kamal Ali, who joined us on the show. And our other guest, Ms. Denise Rolock Barnes, editor and publisher of the Washington Informer. We need news to keep us abreast of what's about to happen and what can or can't happen. So thank you for listening to Crossroads. Remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, everybody.
what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Code Pink, Women for Peace is coming to you live from Washington, D.C. and New York City, Thursday at 11 a.m. Code Pink Radio is an energizing new program focused on ending wars and militarism and building a peace economy. Listen weekly to robust conversation and inspiration from grassroots peacemakers from places like Korea, Yemen, Venezuela, Palestine, and Iran, as well as peacemakers in our nation's capital who are confronting war hawks in the White House and in Congress and modeling the actions we want our government to take. Again, that's Code Pink Radio, Thursdays at 11 a.m. on Washington, D.C.'s WPFW and New York City's WBAI, an engaging hour of cutting-edge conversation not to be missed.
We are women of the world. We're from the east, south, north, and west.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at WPFWFM.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at WPFWFM.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world one broadcast at a time.
The Birchmere presents Omar, July 17th, Hubert Laws, July 20th, Hiroshima, July 24th, and Sheila E., July 30th. Details at thebirchmere.com.
Hello, WPFW listeners. Summertime is here. Words, Beats, and Life has the event for your family and friends this season. The second annual DMV Made Festival is happening Saturday, July 26th on the National Mall, a one-day celebration of the D.C., Maryland, Virginia region, promoting the intersections of arts and culture, plus health and wellness. With live music by Go-Go Legends, EU, featuring Sugar Bear, vocalist Navasha Deya, jazz fusion trio The Mastetics, Black Folks Don't Swim, Kamau, and much more. Plus Family Fun Zone, Poetry and Storytelling Pavilion, Interactive Dance Stage, Live Art Installations, Hands-On Workshops, and Health and Wellness Pavilion. July 26th on the National Mall. Full details at wblinc.org/DMVMade. See you there. Brought to you by Words, Beats, and Life with support from WPFW.
Brother to the east.
To the east, my brother, to the east. Come on.
To the east, my brother, to the east.
To the east, my brother, to the east. Yeah.
To the east, my brother, to the east.
To the east, my brother, to the east, my brother, to the east.
Education, art, health, music, politics, and all things community.
Yes.
Join me, Ambrose Lane Jr., as we uncover the issues of D.C. communities east of the river on To the East, Mondays at 5 p.m. right here on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW 89.3 FM.
Wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support Jazz and Justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
No social justice issue or movement can escape the spotlight of the Latino Media Collective. The Latino Media Collective delivers consequential coverage from the biggest countries in South America to the smallest enclaves of Central America and the Caribbean, and is available on SoundCloud, iTunes Podcast, and Google Podcast.